and satisfied today with the Christ that's born in a manger. They don't like the fact that they had to find the temple tax in a fish's mouth. Come on, they want to be rolling in the dough. Amen. They got to justify their lifestyles because they're materialistic. And they don't want to follow the lowly Nazarene. Can you say amen? I'm not going to preach poverty to you. I'm going to tell you God will bless you. But if you're in it for the stuff, you're in it for the wrong reason. There's more in this thing than just the stuff you get from God along the way. Hallelujah. There's a kingdom here. Hallelujah. That's offered you. And it's like a treasure hidden in a field. And when a man finds it, he sells all that he has. He don't even think about the stuff anymore. Can you say amen? Because he values the kingdom so much. That's why you couldn't hurt those people with all the hardships they went through and all the sacrifices they made in the early church. You couldn't head them off even if you cut off their head. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, we'll receive the offering at the end of the service to Genesis 17. Turn with me to Genesis 17. I believe today God is going to work on some self-image here. I believe he's going to deliver us from the people. That's a great deliverance to get in your life. Hallelujah. People pleasers get into a lot of trouble with God always. Amen. Now, I'm not a fighter. I'm a lover. I don't like conflict. I can't preach this gospel without getting into controversy and conflict. Amen. I can't do it. It's impossible to be done. You can't follow God and not ruffle some feathers along the way. I'm not as calloused as Billy Sunday was, who said, if you think I'm rubbing the cat the wrong way, then turn the cat around. Amen. He said, I'm not changing the truth for anybody. I'm not compromising. Amen. But he could do that, go home and sleep like a baby. I do it. And if I feel someone took it the wrong way, then I'm going to go home and roll and toss about it. And I shouldn't be that way, but that's the earthen vessel. And God has chosen not to change that. He's chosen to give me more grace and to wipe away my tears. I feel very bold under the anointing to declare God's truth. I feel very, very needful of God's grace after I do that, just to sustain me and to help me through it all. But I'm not intimidated by people. One of the things God did for Paul was he delivered him of the people. Can you say amen? And he said the things I thought was gain and it was so necessary to me to be fulfilled and to be self-actualized. Amen. He said, I count them all as but dung that I might win Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? There's no little people at the foot of the cross and there's no big people at the foot of the cross. There's no rich people and there's no poor people. There's no black people. There's no white people. There's no yellow people, no red people. Amen. There's no Baptist people, nor Methodist people, nor Nazarene people, nor Word people, nor charismatic people, nor Pentecostal people. Can you say amen? There are sinners who are saved by grace. Period. Amen. And we have an equal footing and an equal standing with God. There's no equality like the equality that comes through the cross of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, Paul Yonggi Cho has the largest church in the world. It's Assembly of God oriented. It is full gospel and spirit filled. He started cell groups because they couldn't be personal with 50,000 people that attend every Sunday. Its membership is, I think, 1 million people. It's one of the largest, if not the largest church in terms of actual membership in a central location in all of the world. Amen. And he says, you know, the way cell groups should operate is that people that are blue-collar people ought to meet together, for they have things in common. And then the white shirt and tie crowd, you know, the suits need to meet together, the CEOs and stuff, because they have a common ground. You know, the professional surgeons and professional lawyers, people in the higher echelons, because they have common ground, and therefore they can flow together because they have a common ground. And that's like saying you people in the blue-collar, you have your meeting and then go out to Burger King, and you people in the white collar have your meeting and you go out to Burn Steakhouse. Can you say amen? God says something about that, and this is where I differ with my brother. He said, if someone comes into your assembly wearing goodly apparel, and you say, oh, that's someone special, you come up front and sit thou here. But someone comes in that can't dress as well, and you say to that person, oh, you go take a seat in the back because you're not as worthy as the one that came in the suit. And I've seen that. That discrimination works. Listen, there's more than racial discrimination. There's economic discrimination here in America. It's not just a black-white thing. It's a rich-poor thing. Amen. And you fall into categories by the car you drive, the clothes you wear, and whether you're wearing cubic zirconium or the real diamonds. Can you say amen? Whether you got your clothes at a professional fashion shop or whether you got your clothes at a G&W fashion shop. Amen? Everybody say, thank you, Lord, for Goodwill. Hallelujah. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong. Oh, it might be to you, darling. I'm sorry. See, you're still worried about your image and what people think of you, and God wants to deliver you from that today. God wants to get you above it like he finally got my wife above it, to where you're not intimidated by the clothes someone wears, amen, or the ministry they have, because you're walking with the same God they're walking with. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. And he loves you exactly the same. Hallelujah. God loves you as much as he loves Oral or Billy. He knows your name. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and their name is not on the top and yours on the bottom. Hallelujah. Amen. God loves his children the same. Amen. This is what James said. He said, when you do these things, you do so respect to persons. Amen. And that is sin. For the Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. And that's why the world had a problem receiving Jesus, because he didn't come as the great kingly man they thought he was going to be. Samuel almost blew it looking at image, amen, over substance. He was about to anoint the wrong son. He was so sure this has got to be him. And God said, what do you think you're doing? He said, I'm going to anoint the new king like you told me. He said, not him. He said, what do you mean not him? This is all of them. He said, no, it's not all of them, and none of them is him. Amen? Hallelujah. He said, man is looking on the, but God is looking on the heart. Can you say amen? You need to quit worrying so much about your outward appearance to men and get your heart right with God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That's what God is looking for. Hallelujah. And he said, well, have you got any more sons? There's one, and he's the gopher. He's the youngest in the family. We left him to do the dirty work and to stay back there with the flock. He's the servant one. He's the little ruddy-faced shepherd boy. Samuel said, well, you better bring him, because God says none of these are the one. And when he saw David, God said, now there's my king. Can you say amen? And he went and anointed the shepherd boy. God operates that way. He blows away man's systems of appearance over substance. Amen? And that's why he calls fishermen to preach the gospel, and he calls physicians to preach the gospel. And whether you're a fisherman or a physician, it's the call of God that qualifies you to preach the gospel. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody give him a hand clap today. It's the call of God. Glory to the Lord. I'm going to talk to you for a little while this morning. The clock is running backwards, I see. Isn't that neat? It's ticking backwards. It's not near as late as I thought it was. Hallelujah. I want to talk about the power and privilege of having God as our covenant friend. Everybody say covenant friend. Now I want to read some scripture to you out of Genesis 17, 1 through 7. I want to establish this word covenant in your heart today. You have a covenant friend in God. Say that word again, covenant friend. This is exciting stuff. I hesitate to rush into it, and yet I feel like we need to move forward in this message. But boy, I hesitate to rush into this. I want you to say covenant again. If I don't get through all 18 or 22 pages of this outline, it'll be okay, won't it? Wave at me if it'll be okay. But we want to get some of it, because this is what's going to deliver you from that concern about yourself and how other people perceive you. You've got a covenant friend in the God of the universe. You don't just have a maker. You don't just have a creator. You don't just have a savior. You've got more than a savior. That's incredible. We knew God made us, and we fell through sin, and he rescued us in redemptive love, and he became our savior. But God has always wanted more of a relationship than just saving sinners from hell. He's wanted always to be a covenant friend. Everybody say a covenant friend. There are people that came into covenant with God in the Scripture, and after they came into covenant with him and believed him, They were called not just the servants of God or the subjects of God. They were called the friends of God. Can you say amen? Everybody say, a friendship relationship is much more personal, privileged, and precious than just a servant-king relationship. Can you amen that? God said, I am your king and you should be my servants. I'm your maker and you're my creation. You should be bowing to me and obeying me and serving me with everything you have and everything you are. But I want to be more than your king and your creator and your savior. I want to be your covenant partner. Everybody say covenant partner. Listen to this, Genesis 70. It's all through the Old Testament and the New Testament. By the way, everybody's got a Bible. You got an Old Testament, and you got a New Testament in here. And the word testament for the old and the new is the same. It's covenant. This is a Jewish book about a Jewish covenant God written to a Jewish people predominantly. We're grafted in. And in our Western culture, we don't appreciate covenant like they did and do in their culture. There are still, in the Indian culture, there were covenants made when two men would come together and they would mingle blood with one another. What were they called the moment they mingled blood? Blood brothers. It was a deeper covenant than signing your signature on a piece of paper and getting it notarized. Because these two men had committed themselves to one another for life as blood brothers. And one man is saying, I'll put my life on the line for you. And the other one's saying, I'll put my life on the line for you. Can you say amen? It's a deeper thing than the Western culture, amen, can imagine. And that's why when we see it, we don't see it in the strength and the scope that they saw it in that ancient culture. Can you say amen? Genesis 17, 1 through 7 says, and when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I'm the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face. God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name be any more called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful. And I will make nations of thee. And kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee. And here we come. Come on. This is Abraham and what? Between me and thee. Come on, you're involved in this. I want you to get an attention in your heart and in your soul. He said, I'm going to establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee. In their generations, listen, how many generations? For an everlasting covenant. You know what the book of Galatians says about you? And this verse of scripture right here? They that are of the household of faith, that means Jew and Gentile collectively, that have been brought into the same, amen, covenant relationship with God through the blood of Jesus. They that are of the household of faith, both Jew and Gentile, say it with me, both Jew and Gentile. The Bible said Christ, amen, came as our peace, who's broken down the middle partition, that wall that separated Jew and Gentile from participating in the covenant. And he's made us what? He's made us one. Listen to this. They that are of the household of faith are Abraham's seed by faith. And what is this blessing to be? Amen. As an everlasting covenant between me and thee and thy seed forever. Everybody say it's a forever thing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And the blessings of faithful Abraham, because of this covenant right here in Genesis 17, have come upon every succeeding generation out from Abraham. And we spiritually have been brought in to that covenant blessing state. Isn't that good? They that are of the household of faith are what? Abraham's seed by faith. And the blessings of faithful Abraham, this blessing by covenant, has come on Oh, give him a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. And to thy seed after thee for an everlasting covenant. In biblical thinking, covenant is a very sacred word, yet in Western thinking, it's a very casual concept. A covenant is a binding. It's an absolutely unbreakable binding. Indissolvable is a good word, I think. Agreement between two people or two groups that contain promises made on the part of each to another. Biblically speaking, a covenant absolutely cannot be broken. A covenant implies much more than a contract or legal agreement. The last wedding I conducted in Lakeland, amen, for a man at work that got married, I read this, not this, but I read something similar. I said, you're about to enter into a covenant before God and between one another, and it represents far more than a legal contract. We're not just going to do a legal thing here today. We're going to do a spiritual thing. And in particular, we're going to do a covenant thing. And the marriage contract is a marriage covenant, and it's supposed to be binding for life. Amen? That's why God hates divorce. Not just the fallout that it caused in the family, amen, or the sin against Him, but it's the breaking of a covenant. And a covenant is a sacred, sacred thing. It can be forgiven, but it is a sacred thing. How many want to enter into a marriage covenant that is held sacred by both parties? That's the secret of a strong marriage, is a sacred covenant. Not warm, fuzzy feelings every morning or never having dragon breath. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, it's a covenant thing, or never having feet that stink. I mean, no, you change your socks every day for the first year. And then it all goes crazy. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. There are some tennis shoes that should be given a funeral. Hallelujah, prayed over and buried deep, deep, deep. Glory to God. Amen. Covenant implies much more than a contract or legal agreement. Contracts are limited by time, while a covenant has an eternal quality. That's why God said, when I make this covenant with you, Abraham, it's going to be an everlasting covenant to you and your seed after thee. Amen. Do you realize that we who have come into the kingdom are part of the seed after Him? He said, in every generation, there's a God who stands in covenant with it. That comes, if you come to Christ, that old covenant is brought under the benefits and blessings of the new covenant. It's not done away with as far as its blessing aspect. Hallelujah. And the New Testament writer, the new covenant writer, Paul says, the blessings of faithful Abraham have come upon every one of you that are of the household of faith, because you are Abraham's seed by faith. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Speaking of His covenant with David, God says in Psalm 89, and this is God's faithfulness to the covenant, even though we fail on occasion. Listen. Verse 30 through 36, listen to it. This is a Davidic covenant. There's an Abrahamic covenant, a Mosaic covenant. Amen. A Davidic covenant. A covenant with Noah that I will never, ever, ever, ever destroy the world with water again. And He set a bow in His heaven as a sign of His covenant and a seal of His grace. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It will be fire next time, but it will not be by water, because God has a covenant with Noah. Praise God. It's a powerful thing when the God of the heavens comes in covenant with a man or a woman upon the earth. Can you say amen? It's a powerful thing. The weak link in it is you. The strong link in it is God. Hallelujah. And thank God, salvation is the Lord's. Hallelujah. Listen to this. This is powerful stuff. If His children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then I will visit their transgression with the rod. This is the rod of correction. And their iniquity with stripes. Amen. Having a covenant with God doesn't mean you're off the hook when it comes to sin. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from Him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. That's exactly what lifted up Jeremiah when he preached. They rejected the word. Amen. The enemies came in and took over Israel. He saw the chastening rod of God laid to these people. And he said, when I look at that and consider the wormwood and the gall, My heart is humbled in me, crushed within me, pressed beyond measure within me. But he said, this I recall to mind. Everybody say covenant. That's what he was talking about. Hallelujah. This I recall to mind. Though you're chastening them, I know you've got a covenant with them through Abraham. And I know based on that covenant, a day is going to come, amen, when their captivity is going to end. When there's going to come a restoration. And there's going to come a revival. Not because they are worthy, but because you are faithful. Can you say amen? Are you hearing me? He said, when I consider the wormwood and the gall, my heart is humbled in me. Amen. But this I recall to mind. Thy mercies are new every morning. Why? Because he covenanted to do that. His loving kindness would not depart from Israel. Great is thy faithfulness. Faithfulness to what? To the covenant he struck with Abraham. Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise for his faithfulness. Nevertheless, my loving kindness I'll not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that's gone out of my lips. Paul said, if I deny him, he cannot deny himself, but remaineth faithful. He will not change because of my failure. Hallelujah. I can drift away from him, but if I come home, I'll find him. Amen. The same God, and we will not hold sin against me if I confess it at his feet because of a covenant that he's made through the blood of Jesus Christ. Look at the prodigal. When he comes home, he doesn't do penance. He doesn't live in the barn. He doesn't have to do something of his own. Hallelujah. Amen. He's completely restored, completely accepted, completely clothed with a robe of righteousness. That's how the Father receives people that have drifted away. He's a covenant-keeping God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Once I've sworn by my holiness that I'll not lie unto David, his seed shall endure forever. There's that covenant with David and his throne as the sun before me. Hallelujah. God is a covenant keeping God. And the word covenant is best understood in the framework of a friendship relationship. Everybody say a friendship relationship. This is not as much a legal thing as it is a heart thing. Everybody say a heart thing. A true friend is completely committed to stay in relationship no matter what. Proverbs 17:17 said, a friend loveth here at church at all times. Can you say, man? That's when you're good to be around, easy to be with. And that's when you're hard to be around and tough to be with. A real friend will tough out the hard times and keep on loving you. Can you say amen? I said a friend loveth at all times. This is the real stuff here. Can you say amen? God's desire to be our covenant friend brings a whole new dimension to our faith. While it strengthens our faith, it deepens our fellowship. Exodus 33:11 says, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. Isn't that incredible? As a man speaketh to his what? To his friend. He said, I'm not going to talk like the God up here and you're the lowly lowlife down there. I'm not going to scream orders from heaven. I'm going to talk to you face to face as a man talketh to his friend. Because of the covenant, that's how he was talking to Israel. Come, let us reason together. Do you see the face-to-face friendship relationship with people that had wronged him and sinned against him? Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Amen. Though your sins are as scarlet, they can be white as snow, red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Can you say amen? Isn't that a sweet, loving call of a God who says, I want to be more than your dictator God. I want to be your friend and your confidant and your counselor. And if you will let your heart be melted by my love, you'll receive my counsel. Hallelujah. Amen. God wants to be a forever friend. One of the sweetest weddings that I've ever performed. And some of yours were very sweet, but this was one of the sweetest. I didn't say it was the sweetest, amen? But it was one of the sweetest, was between the son of my best friend in school, I conducted his funeral with another pastor. And all of my schoolmates, like a class reunion, everybody that from the graduating class of Brandon High in 1965 almost that knew us, either of us, they were present at that funeral. Amen. And I talked about my friend. I let the pastor talk about heaven and streets of gold and a place where the dead go that have trusted in Christ. And I talked about my friend, William Kraft. I talked about our fun. I talked about our fellowship. I talked about the way we laughed together and cried together. What a good friend I had found in him. Amen. And we had a tearful and yet joyful occasion at his passing. And out at the cemetery, we gathered around together, all of my classmates, and we kind of reminisced and relived some of the bonds that had been built through playing football together and skipping school together and doing these other things that we did together. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But it was a bittersweet experience, but friendship was the real issue. Amen. There's a friend that loves at all times, doesn't give up on you when things get tough, when you're unlovable and unkind. Amen. Aren't you glad there's someone in your life? If you've got someone that says, you know, I'm still here for you. I'll still receive your apology. I'll build that bridge between me and you because I'll never quit loving you. Can you say amen? So in this particular wedding, his son said, if you would marry me, it would be such an honor. Because having you perform our wedding would be the closest thing to having my dad attend the wedding, because I know you were his best friend. And boy, he's such a sweet young man. He's just so sweet and tender, and his wife is sweet and tender. And I asked him about the vows they wanted, and they said, you know, there's one thing we want when you pronounce us. We want somehow you to work it in that we want to be more than just husband and wife. We want to be forever friends. Everybody say forever friends. That's powerful. So for the first time in my 30 years of pastoral ministry, amen, I said, and now I pronounce you to be husband and wife and forever friends in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Honey, if you got a marriage that has more in it than a legal contract, but you have a heart that has been committed to one another, you have a forever friend. And that's a lot closer than just a contractual marriage. God wants to be closer than just a legal document called the Ten Commandments, a document that if you keep your part, he wants to be your forever friend. The supper we're going to, amen, is not where we sign papers that heaven is ours. Can you say amen? It is not a closing. Come on. I've been to closings. They're not fun. Everybody's sweating. Can you say amen? There's a lot of stuff on the line when you're closing something. Money has been exchanged. More money is owed. This is not a closing on heaven. Amen. This is different. Amen. This is intimate. This is personal. This is a celebration. It's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. God wants to be a forever friend. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 7. Art thou not our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever. Everybody say a forever friend. Thy friend forever. Amen. Jesus is that kind of friend. Did you realize that? You know what he said to his disciples that gave him the courage? He said, and lo, I am with you always. Listen to his commitment as he declares. It's going to be part of this in just a moment. He said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Amen. In the actual Greek, it says, I will never, never, no, never. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It's not just, no, I won't do it. It is, I will never, never, no, never. This is a strong, deep, personal commitment. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It's, in fact, it's part of the covenant. He keeps his promises because of his personal commitment to love his covenant partner, his friend forever. You know, he said, a lot of things I'm doing for Israel, I'm doing it. He said, I don't love you. amen, because of some emotional response to your goodness. If that were the case, I'd quit loving you when you're bad. And if we quit loving us when we're bad, there's no hope for any of us. Because there would have never been a cross. There'd never been a Christ on the cross. But there was a Christ sent, and he did die on the cross because God loved us while we were yet in our sins. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He said, Israel, in Deuteronomy 8, I believe it is, I don't love you because you're greater in number than any other nation. He don't love this church because it's the biggest church in town or the best church in town. He loves this church because it's filled with his people. Amen. And his people, amen, are loved the same whether you're in the big bunch or the little bunch. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And more than anything, because of his covenant to love you. He said, I don't love you because you're more in number. He said, I sure in another place in Deuteronomy don't love you because you're so sweet, because thou art a stiff-necked people. Everybody's got flesh that's a little stubborn. Raise your hand. Don't just look at Israel. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. There's a rebellion. The rebelliousness is bound in that flesh nature. And you're a stiff-necked people. Amen. You're a proud people that do not bow easily. I don't love you because you're the model of nation. I don't love you because you're perfect. I don't love you because you're great in any sense of the word. But, he said, listen to this, that I might keep my covenant that I swore to Abraham. Come on, church. Amen. He said, I made a covenant to bless him and to bless his seed. And he said, I have set, in order to bless him, he said, I have set my love on thee. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, somebody give him praise today. Woo! I'm getting excited about this thing. I'm glad that clock is running backwards. Hallelujah. Maybe we should leave it that way. Somebody said, let's just stay here till 5. We won't even have to have this. Amen. Moving right along. He keeps his promise because of his personal commitment to his covenant partner. Let's look at the ancient ritual of covenant making in the Old Testament. We may not get through all of this. We probably won't. First thing that happened, the two people covenanted together was to exchange garments. Everybody say the exchange of garments. 1 Samuel 18:3 and 4, listen to it. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. Can you say amen? Isn't that precious? This robe that he took off was a garment worn over the tunic by men of rank. It was the garment of a prince. It was the garment of a priest. You know any prince or priest that has exchanged garments with anybody in the New Testament? You see where this is headed. By doing so, Jonathan was saying, in effect, to David, I'm giving you my life. All that I am and all that I have. Jonathan was the crown prince, the son of King Saul, destined for the throne. From birth he had been trained and schooled and groomed for kingship. He had everything to live for, possessions beyond our imagination, prestige and a future to be envied. However, he was ready and willing to give it all away to seal a covenant with a friend that he loved. Amen. A covenant with his friend. This is exactly what Jesus has done for us who believe. In order to save us, he stripped himself of all of his royal robe. You realize where he came from to come here and what he gave up to come down, and the condensation that God would leave his throne and his glory to come here. And not only take our filthy robes and wear them to the cross, but give us his royal robes so we wouldn't be punished. Are you listening to me? Look at Philippians 2, 6 through 8. Speaking of Jesus, it said, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but listeneth to stripping, but made of himself no reputation, and took on himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even to the death of the cross. Bible scholars call this the exchange life. Everybody say the exchange life. God comes to earth to become a man, to exchange garments. He takes our garments stained by sin and gives us his righteous robe. He is judged and punished. We are acquitted and set free. Oh, how he loves you and me. And you know what he calls this wonderful act of grace and love? He calls it the new covenant. Can you say amen? Do you see the exchange of garments taking place? It's the first step in the ancient covenant ritual. Hallelujah. How many know that in the book of Revelation, he said, the only reason you can stand before God, amen, in the final judgment and not be found guilty and judged is because you have a robe of righteousness that you're covered with so that the shame of your nakedness does not appear. Whose robe is that? Amen. It's Christ's robe. He doesn't just give you, amen, forgiveness. He doesn't just take our sin. He grants to you his own innocence. And it's called righteousness in Scripture. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You know, you can't go to the wedding supper without a wedding garment. Amen. If you try to get in without a wedding garment, the host says, what are you doing here without a wedding garment? Amen. And you're taken, you're cast into outer darkness. Where do you get the wedding garment? Religion would say you have to weave it yourself. Can you say amen? Through self-effort and through your goodness, weighed against your badness and somehow get unsoiled enough to stand in the presence of a holy God. You can't come to that place. If you could ever get there, he died for nothing. He died so you could be clothed with his own royal raiment. Can you say amen? You're going to stand before God in his own clothes. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody give him praise tonight. Hallelujah. You quit worrying about, amen, where your pants come from. You quit worrying about what fashion shop you got your shirt at. It's all filthy rags in the presence of God. Don't worry about what people think about what you got on. Amen. Please God and put on the robe of righteousness and square your shoulders and live in victory. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Look at this exchange that's made. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He took our robes of destruction and judgment, and he gave us his robes of righteousness and peace and acceptance with God. He just exchanged with us. Amen. He took our punishment on the tree. He became a curse for us. Amen. That we might what? Be delivered from the curse. He took off the rich robes of heaven and gave it to us and took on our impoverished robes of sin, amen, upon himself and suffered our death on the cross. He changed garments with us. Can you say amen? He changed. Whose righteousness are you wearing anyway? Yours? Your church's? Whose righteousness do you have to put on to get into heaven? Amen. All our righteousness. Amen. Boy, everybody thinks they know somebody. Whether it's your sweet mama, or Mary, the mother of Jesus, or somebody on this planet or in heaven. There's somebody that's worthy, amen, that's completely righteous and doesn't need the covering of this robe. The Bible said all man's righteousness at his very best is like a filthy rag, amen, as God sees it compared to his demand and to and his presence of holiness, amen. And there's none righteous. I'll say it loud again. Come on, that's you and whoever you think is. Can you say amen? That includes all of us. There's none righteous. And if we try to stand in our own robes of our own weaving, the shame of our nakedness will appear. Amen. Even our good works are done many times with ulterior motives to show people how good we are, and that's sin. Can you say amen? There's none righteous. Not one. Praise God. So you know what he says? I love how Satan will try to disqualify you every way he can from the presence of God, from the mighty intercessions, from the mighty work of the kingdom that you're called to. Amen. And it said that Joshua the high priest came to stand before the Lord in behalf of Israel. And you know what he wore in order to show, amen, his contrition? He represented a nation that was soiled with sins, and he came into the presence of God with filthy garments on. Amen. And boy, when Satan saw him walking in with those filthy garments on, he said, this is in the holy place. He's walking in the holy place with those filthy garments on. God can't accept him that way. He'll never stand in the gap for Israel. He will never do his priestly ministry. He can't even stand in his own righteousness, let alone plead for their righteousness. Can you say me? He don't have a leg to stand on. So there he stands in his filthy garments. And you know what? Amen. The devil shows up. And the Bible said, and he stood in behalf of Israel, and Satan was at his right hand to resist him. And how did he resist him? By pointing out, amen, how unclean he was, amen, compared to the demands of a holy God. And you know what? Amen. God spoke to him and said, bring hither the ephod, which is the priestly garments of a priest. Amen. And bring here a change of raiment. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And some angel somewhere went over and got God's robe off the hook. Hallelujah. And took Christ's righteousness. Amen. And put it on the man. And said, you give me your own nasty robe and let me give you this robe of righteousness. Can you say amen? Job said, I put on righteousness and it clothed me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, devil, if you have to accuse somebody, you're going to have to accuse God, because this is God's robe that he's wearing now. He can intercede and God can answer. Hallelujah. This is a covenant where the two men say, we're on equal footing, we've exchanged garments. A rich man and a poor man came into covenant. The poor man would give the rich man his liabilities. The rich man would give the poor man his riches. He became poor, impoverished spiritually, separated from his father for that moment on the cross, that we might become rich. First step of the covenant, there's been an exchange. Can you say, man? He was wounded. See the exchange? He took our robes of sin and bore the punishment. He knew when he took our sins on himself, he would die for it. God forsaken death on the cross without even the comfort of his father. The most hurtful words he could utter that hurt his mother to hear, hurt anyone standing around to hear, was, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? He was with him in Pilate's hall. In Pilate's hall, he was fearless in Pilate's hall. Amen. He still had on his robe. He hadn't taken ours on him yet. In Pilate's hall, he was not being punished for sin. He's perfectly righteous. He had perfect fellowship. He said, my Father is always with me. Can you say amen? But on the cross, he said, he's not here. I'm dying and I'm crying. I'm lost. I'm separated. I'm dying the death of a lost sinner on this cross. He that knew no sin. His sin, my sin, your sin, that we might. Here's the exchange. He said, I'll take your dirty rags to Calvary. You take my righteous robe and walk in the newness of life. Change to be a covenant. And you see, Jonathan said, I love you, David. I give up everything here to do your will. Here's the road that says I'm a king. We'll rise for the king. Here's the road. Here's my lance. Here's my weapon to the world. I'm your covenant. Jesus said, here's my king. I could call 10,000 angels. He gave up his weapons of war, his kingly authority to die for you and me. He said, I could call 10,000 angels, but I'm going to the cross. This is a real covenant. This is a real exchange. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We get his riches. He gets our poverty. We get his punishment, the chastisement of our peace. Where is it now? It's laid on him. Can you say amen? For God has laid on him. You can see that garment being draped around him. The iniquity, that filthy, stained rag of a thing that causes God to respond in judgment. God has laid on him the iniquity of us all. But what did he lay on us? Christ's own righteousness. He doesn't just remove our guilt. He gives us his innocence. Are you hearing me? And it's called justification in the New Testament. Can you say amen? Shalamanti, nitorobo. And it's all about an exchange of garments. How many people here are living right now the exchange life? You've come to Christ. Raise your hand. Hallelujah. How many know he took your sin? How many know he granted you his righteousness? How many knew a covenant relationship has begun between you and God? That's why they call it the new covenant. He left the indescribable beauty, unspeakable glory of heaven to give us his robe of righteousness. Isaiah 61:10 said, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. That's why Pentecostals are so crazy. Hallelujah. I'll greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul will be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation, and he's covered me with the robe of righteousness. How many know that's shouting ground? How many know that's shouting ground? That God would take your sin and give you his righteousness. Honey, if that don't make you shout, we're going to try to raise the dead at the end of the service. Can you say amen? You have to be dead. You have to be into dead religion. Dead religion don't cause you to shout like this. But a living covenant partner, hallelujah, that's made this exchange with you. At the mention of his name, you want to cry and shout at the same time. Can you say amen? Somebody give him praise in this room. Hallelujah. We've been given his robe to cover us. We are wearing our covenant partner's garment. We should live differently. Everybody say we should live differently. This don't leave you off the hook for the way you live. It puts you on the spot. Amen. You're wearing royal robes. You're wearing regal attire. You're wearing the garments of a king from another world. Hallelujah. Amen. Ephesians 4 speaks about that, and this is in the context of covenant. And that you put on the new man. You see the exchange of garments? And that you put on the new man, which is after God. Ephesians 4:24 is created in righteousness and true holiness. Ephesians 4:24 is written in covenant language, which the Jews understood far more deeply than we generally do today. Because they saw this first step of the covenant that's been exchanged. I now have his God. I now live differently. Could you say, man? Telling people where they stand in God won't give them license to sin. It'll give them a reason not to. That is much higher than just the dread of God's punishment. I don't want to soil this garment that's been given to me by my King to wear. Somebody say, praise God. You ever come to the place that you appreciate what he's given you so much you don't want to? It's the love for our covenant partner. The appreciation for the unspeakable gift. Amen. It goes deeper. And there's joy in the keeping of the covenant on our part. Hallelujah. Paul was emphasizing that there's been an exchanged life. We're now to walk in another man's clothing. We're to walk in another man's garment. Taking on his righteousness. Reflecting his nature. And manifesting his goodness. Can you say amen? Isn't that incredible? We're to walk even as he walked, the scripture said. Exchange of weapons is the second thing that happened. There's nine of these. I don't think I'll get through with all of them. This is the second stage. And to think, I prepared an evening message. Totally unnecessary. We'll have to finish this. They exchanged garments. Are you glad for that? Before we just go any further, since we're not going to finish, I don't even have to hurry because we have nowhere to go but get through. Are you glad for the exchange of garments? Do you understand the only thing that will let you stand in the presence of a holy God is a robe of righteousness? Do you fully understand whose robe that belongs to? Do you understand it's His robe? Can you say, man? And it's called, here's the exchange in the covenant. It's called the gift of righteousness. Circumcision doesn't profit anything, and uncircumcision doesn't profit anything anymore. The only thing that matters is the gift. Can you say, man, the New Testament says all that matters is the gift. Salvation is a gift. Come on, it's an exchange life. You don't earn that. If you think you earn it, you're self-righteous. And if you try to stand before God in your own self-righteousness, that's why we were so intimidated. There were so many self-righteous people around us, amen, that thought they'd arrived at some spectacular holy place. And they looked down on everyone that wasn't in that place. The scribe and the Pharisee thought they could get to heaven based on their own righteousness. But they couldn't get there. Jesus plainly said, your righteousness had better exceed that of the scribe and the Pharisee if you want in the kingdom. You've got to come and bow. You've got to come and receive a gift. You've got to come and accept a blood sacrifice that establishes a blood covenant. Can you say, man? You've got to come to the table and you've got to drink blood and you've got to eat bread that is a broken body. This is a covenant thing. Hallelujah. Wow. And it's powerful. Jonathan stripped himself of his sword, his bow, and his girdle. By the way, this sword was unique. It was the only sword in Israel. At that time, no one had an iron sword but Jonathan. No one had an iron sword but Jonathan. Only the Philistines had the technology to make iron into a mold and fashion a weapon. The Israelis had no weapons of war. It's going to be borne out in Scripture. Only Jonathan had a sword of iron. Isn't that incredible? Anybody hear the story of the axe head? That's why victories over the Philistines were so wonderful, because they did it with weapons far less, amen, because it wasn't based on their weaponry, but the covenant God had with Israel. Neither is it based on our weaponry. Can you say, man, America's kind of swaggering in our weaponry? Let me tell you something, amen, we're not the first nation to think that our weaponry is going to take care of us and protect us and provide homeland security for us. Can you say, amen? Homeland security is on your coin, not in some weapons munitions dump somewhere. Can you say, amen? Not in some missile pointed somewhere, amen. It's right there on your coin. This nation knew it's not our weaponry that's going to keep us protected from those that would like to destroy us. In God we trust, amen, is what has kept this nation. And in God we trust is our only protection now. Can you say, man? No nation has ever survived because of its weaponry. Thank God Jonathan said, I won't just give you my robes, my pride, and all the things that this material world can offer, but I'm going to give up, amen, that protects me. I'm going to commit my protection to you, my covenant friend. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Oh, by the way, let me just get into this. Amen. There's a guy out here, he's a Jew, and they live near, amen, where the Philistines are, and the Philistines have the technology for iron. So guess what he had done? Amen. He had went and got an axe borrowed from a Philistine that he could not replace. In a very real sense, it was priceless because he couldn't replace it. And what he would have to do if he lost or damaged that borrowed item was he would have to become a bond slave as a Hebrew man to a Philistine man until he paid off the debt. He could work 1 or 2 years, amen, in that guy's field paying off a debt. So he was hewing with it. And God don't want you to have to look to this world. He wants you to be exclusively His, and He wants to be exclusively your source. He don't want... Oh, my Baba Hoshuta. Boy, there's something in this thing, Sister Venom. He's hewing with it. The axe head flies off and falls into the water and sinks to the bottom. And boy, this guy's heart sinks. He says, alas, to the prophet, alas, for it was borrowed. Amen. And where'd they buy it? Where'd they borrow it? Had to borrow it from a Philistine because they had the iron ore technology. The Jews didn't have it. Now I'm going to have to be a bond slave to him to pay off the debt. God don't want us to be bond slaves to anybody like that. He don't want us in league, some kind of, what fellowship hath light with darkness? Christ with the light. Be ye not unequally yoked. Amen. Believer and unbeliever. Can you say amen? This would have yoked them through this financial agreement. God said, I don't want that yoke on you. Amen. Amen. The prophet said, God will do anything to get you out of the situation where you are in some kind of covenant that ties you to the world and the pagan world about you. You're a unique people separate unto Him. Can you say? Amen. Hallelujah. He wants to make you the head, not the tail. Let you be the lender, not the borrower. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And he said, took a stick, amen, and threw it in the water. And the axe head did not come to the surface. It did not float up to the surface. Amen. It became animate like a fish. Hallelujah. And the Bible said, and the axe head did swim. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That means God will work the supernatural. Amen. To keep his people exclusive to himself, sanctified and set apart with a covenant only with God and with no one else. No other gods and no other man except Jesus. Can you say amen? Oh, somebody shout victory this morning. Woo! Hallelujah. And they exchanged belts or weapons. By giving up his personal weapons of defense, Jonathan was surrendered. He surrendered his ability to defend himself against attack. His entire defense was now in the hands of his covenant friend. He deliberately made himself vulnerable. That's what David did. Isn't it? Saul says, you can't fight that giant without my armor. And for a moment, David says, you know, you're right. I'm going to war without battle gear. I'm going to fight a giant without armor. And Saul put his armor on David. And it didn't feel right. Can you say amen? How many know every time that you try to deliver yourself through your own ingenuity, it may seem right in your mind, but it don't feel right in your heart. Because you know when it really gets down to the nitty-gritty, you're a child of the King. And you need that committed to God. Can you say amen? How many have made a bigger mess trying to get out of a mess? And God had to be relied on after, you know, after all. You had to go squirming right back to him. And he said, why didn't you come to me in the first place? And then, you wouldn't be in the mess. Can you say, man, I would have took care of these things. You don't have to do that. Amen. But I thought this would be a good idea. You know, I am a fan of the Three Stooges. One time something came up, an issue, and Mo said to Curly, he said, every time you think, Curly said, but I thought, and he said, but every time you think you weaken the nation. Can you say amen? He wants you to acknowledge him in all of your ways. He wants you to trust him with your whole life. All of it. He wants you to trust him with your defense and give up your weapons. Jesus said, I shouldn't send you forth as sheep among wolves. And you want to turn around and say, sheep? You're sending the sheep to evangelize the wolves? Oh, great. Oh, that's rich. You know what wolves are going to do when the sheep come down there? The wolves aren't coming to get the sheep. The sheep are marching up to the wolves. Because God sent them. The wolves say, what are you doing here? They say, God sent me. Oh, good. Yeah, God is great. God is good. Let us thank him. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, it's going to be short work, amen? How do we defend ourselves? We're still sheep. He sends us as sheep. Wolves have talons. Sheep have teeth for eating grass. They're flesh eaters, meat eaters, carnivores. We eat grass. They say, rawr! And we say, meh. There's no match. They got claws, they got sinews, they got muscles. If we fall on our back, we can't get up. We're not much better than turtles. Come on, we become cast sheep, and the shepherd has to come set us aright lest we die. We drink water and fall on our face and drown ourselves. He has to lead us beside still water. Rushing water will take us away. We ain't got sense enough to get in and out of the rain. He has to lead us. Sheep are dumb. And sheep are defenseless. Say, sheep are dumb. Oh, I know that's an insult to your intelligence. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own. Come on. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. And what's going to happen? All the stuff your ingenuity couldn't get you out of, all the stuff your ingenuity couldn't do for you, all your big thinking, all of your intelligentsia, all your high IQ, all your initiative, can you say, man, listen, it ain't no match for what God does when you trust Him with all of your heart. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, you got to be a big thinker. Oh, listen, that glorifies your mind. Amen. You've got to be a person who puts their trust exclusively in the God that called you and said He would be your covenant friend. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Let's don't glorify your mind. Let's glorify your God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't want to hear another message on thinking big. Because that mind game is being played in the Eastern religions. The expansion of man's mind is touching, amen, on the pagan religions of self-exaltation and self-sufficiency. God wants to deliver us from self-exaltation and self-sufficiency. He wants us God-dependent. So He sends us as among sheep have no defense except one. Sheep don't fight wolves. Sheep don't fight no wolf. You know who defends the sheep? Shepherd defends the sheep. Listen, if Jesus wasn't my shepherd, I'd be scared among the wolves of this world. But the Lord that created heaven and earth, the Lord that spoke and it was done, commanded and it stood fast. The Lord who stretched out heaven as a scroll. Can you say amen? The Lord who told the sea, you stop here, by setting a law into motion between the gravity pull of the moon. He said, I set the boundaries of the sea. Can you say amen? The Lord, that Lord, hallelujah, is my shepherd. Praise God. Hallelujah. Bring it on. Glory to God. We don't have to defend ourselves. We are well defended. You can't have His defense till you give up your weapons. Come on. You have to give up your weapons. You have to give up your weapons. Vengeance is mine. I repay, saith the Lord. Giving up his weapons means giving up his self-sufficiency. He made himself vulnerable. He rendered himself incapable of hurting his covenant friend. It was a way of saying, I will never hurt you on purpose. I will never raise sword against you. It was a commitment of utter loyalty. He held nothing back. After he made this commitment, he says, if I'm attacked, unless you defend me, I'm defenseless. It's all you now. It's not me anymore. We give up our self-sufficiency. We trust His love and power. Christ sends us forth as sheep among wolves. We're totally dependent on our Shepherd King. He is our provider and protector. We give our armor of self-sufficiency. He gives us, here's the exchange. He gives us, they exchange weapons. The weapons of our warfare now are not carnal. Have nothing to do with your defense mechanisms anymore. But they're mighty. Through God. Come on, Satan don't want this message out, but it's getting out this morning. They are mighty through God to the pulling down. Come on, church of strongholds. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, you look at that little sheep out there and say, man, you better learn some kung fu. You come messing with the wolves of this world. Can you say amen? You better get your act together. You better carry a piece. Can you say amen? You better get some body armor. You better find a place to run and hide. No siree, brother. We've exchanged our puny weapons, amen, of fleshly self-sufficiency, amen, for His mighty armor of indestructible mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, the Scripture said we don't argue against flesh and blood. Look at the exchange. We give up all our junky, puny, amen, weak old stuff. Amen. Hallelujah. And God says, I'm going to give you my belt. You give me your old belt, and I'm going to throw it right where it needs to be, over there in the garbage. Can you say amen? In the heap of heaps upon heaps. Armies lay in heaps. The mightiest armies of the world ended up in heaps. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. No nation has ever stood because of its weaponry. We're way too confident in America, in our weaponry. We need God's whole armor on. Hallelujah. We need His covering over this nation. Hallelujah. 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 God's going to provide for us a building. God's going to give us seats to sit on, microphones to preach through, money to take care of the work and the pastor if he wants me full time again. God's going to take care of all of this. We don't have to market this ministry. We don't have to compromise the Word of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God is the one. We're not self-sufficient. We're not even trying to be. We haven't received an offering, but it's going to come in. We're not going to manipulate you, but people are going to give because God speaks to their heart. Hallelujah. 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 Musha lamadite. Kandada basata. I've got a covenant king, and I'm in partnership with him, and so do you. Hallelujah. He said, we don't argue against flesh and blood, but against powers. Listen to the array of enemies, the wolves. Listen to it, sheep. We don't argue against flesh and blood. Every flesh and blood weapon at your disposal is useless against what you're up against. Can you say amen? Our argument is not with flesh and blood. Don't get so articulate in your arguing ability, amen, that you think you can overcome with your words of malice and madness when you're hurt or when you're angered. That's not how you overcome. Can you say amen? He that don't bridle his tongue, the Bible said his religion is in vain. We got to learn to quit fighting this thing with the weapons of the flesh. Somebody said, I got the last word. The last word is not what it's all about. Can you say amen? It's letting God be your defender. Sometimes it's keeping your mouth shut and letting God set you a table in the presence of your enemies. Hallelujah. Demonstrating that He's God and He takes care of His people. Hallelujah. Sometime if you hold your peace and let the Lord fight the battle, victory, 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 victory is going to be yours. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. I don't have to defend my ministry. I don't have to defend where I'm from or what kind of preacher I am. I don't have to talk to some other preacher about the size of my church or the car that I drive or the watch that I wear or the home that I live in. I have a protector God that all of the money in the world couldn't buy the covering that's right now over my life. Hallelujah. And I can get the best clothes. One man, his wife, I read recently in a news thing, he was a very rich man, professional man, CEO. He got him a woman, his wife of 23 years, got mad, which she should have. It's time to get mad, and this was time. Hallelujah. God says something. God gets mad when we go out on him. Can you say amen? Because it's spiritual adultery. Same thing. He said, that's something to get upset about. Amen. You know what she did? Said that he had about 30 $1,500 suits. 30 tailor-made $1,500 suits. Dear Lord, I could buy 30 suits with $1,500. And if I went to the G&W, I could buy 300 suits for $1,500. In fact, I could buy even more than that. What's $5 into three? Anyway, moving right along to $1,500. I don't know why she chose the right sleeve, but she measured like a seamstress. And she cut off 4 inches of the right sleeve of all 30 suits. Unless he wants surgery so he can still wear his suits. They're no good no more. The coats will all be thrown away. Pants are coming to the Goodwill. Oh. Anyway, moving right along. Glory to God. Amen. What's it mean to give up your weapon? It means you give up your self-sufficiency. It means now you're dependent on someone else's protection. And the someone that you've got. Listen to what you're up against. And think about your weapon. All of your self-sufficiency. We don't argue against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. Spiritual wickedness in high places and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Now, what in the world are you going to do with your commitment to keep a high moral standard in and of yourself? You're no match. Pride's going to seep in. The pride of self-righteousness will cast you down. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. He said, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Here's the exchange. You've give up all of those weak, insufficient things that you once leaned on to protect yourself, to be self-sufficient, and you just give it all to God. And what does God do? He turns around and says, now, put this on. Can you say amen? Put this on. Whose armor do we put on? Amen. Take ye the whole armor of Saul? No, David said, boy, that stuff, if that would have worked, I wouldn't have to be down here doing this. Saul's bigger than me, and he had the armor on. There's all kind of armored men back here in Israel. I'm down here because man's armor's no match. But I got armor, and that giant can't see it. But I got it on. Hallelujah. And he took Saul's armor, and he cast it off. Self-sufficiency was cast down. Do you how many honestly believe that he would have lost that battle if he went in the name of Saul fighting with Saul's armor? Amen. Because that battle couldn't be won that way. There was more than a giant here. There was a spiritual force behind it all. Come on. Come on. Satan wanted to enslave God's people. So he said, send me your best champion, and I'll send you mine. We don't have to have bloodshed, and we all get hacked up. You'll lose anyway, but you'll lose a lot of men. But you can stay with your family, sharecrop the land. We'll take the women we want. We won't kill your children. You'll be our bond slaves. You'll serve us the rest of your life, and we'll glean the profits off your land and give you the leftovers. You can glean the fields to fill your belly so you can work some more for us, but at least you'll have your life and limb. So we're going to send you our champion. If your God's so great, send us your champion. We send Goliath, more than a big man here. An archer with a well-placed arrow can take out the biggest man that ever lived. There was more than a big man here. There was a spiritual thing going on. And there was a fear with that man. Because the mightiest soldiers in the army of Israel said, have you seen the size of this man? They were completely, amen, taken back by the imposing figure of this champion of the Philistines. And fear gripped the heart of God's people. And when fear grips your heart, amen, faith is set aside. Can you say amen? But David hadn't been down there, amen, indoctrinated in how to have great weaponry and be articulate in battle. He brought bread and cheese to his brothers who were in the service. He didn't even come to fight. He came to serve. Can you say amen? But he had experienced something holy on the hillsides of Israel because he had been anointed to be a king and went back to keeping sheep. Isn't that incredible? Some people get a little anointing. They want a church. They want a pulpit. They got to be seen and heard. They got to show out and show off the anointing. Amen. David got anointed and then went back keeping the sheep. Hallelujah. Listen, sometimes God wants you to wait on Him. He wants you to be humble. He wants you to be a servant heart. He don't want you to be a spiritual show off. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He wants you to be willing to do the little things. And maybe He will choose you for something bigger. But not because you want something bigger. Amen. But because you're a servant and you'll take the little job or the big job and anywhere in between as long as you can please your King. Can you say amen? And that's the kind of King David was. He hadn't seen nothing that resembled a kingdom. But he said a lion came to take one of the sheep. And he's a shepherd boy. All the men are away. He said when the lion came, something happened. Something I'd never experienced. That was more than just oil poured on my head. Something's on me after that oil. After I wiped the oil off, after I bathed in that stream, there's something left on me because I jumped out. And I couldn't believe what happened. I jumped out, amen, and I killed that lion. This is a man with a sling and a rock. That's the only weapon. I killed a lion. And then a bear came along to touch one of those sheep. And I stood between the sheep and the bear. And something happened, I'm telling you. I didn't have a weapon in my hand that could take a bear down. But I killed the bear under that mighty anointing. Amen. I've killed a lion. I've killed a bear. Now who is this Philistine, this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of the living God? Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Somebody give God praise. Hallelujah. And he ran toward the giant. Not with Saul's armor of self-sufficiency. Not with the weaponry of man. And he stated it clearly. Giant said, I asked for a man, you send me a boy. And the boy began to talk. Like no man in Israel's army talked. Mushalam. And the boy said to the big man, today, I'm going to kill you. Take your head from thee. The giant says, come on. And David ran. Not with Saul's armor, but with what he had back there when the Spirit of God came on. And then he started hollering as he ran. You come to me with a sword. Listen, that's why Jonathan gave it up. You come to me with a sword and a spear. And I see him skipping now as he runs. But I come to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. Hallelujah. That's spiritual armor. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Bible said he picked up 5 smooth stones from the brook. He put 4 of them in his pouch and 1 in his sling. Hallelujah. We're more than conquerors. Didn't take but 1. He had far more than he needed to do the job. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible said he slung the stone and the stone hit the giant and the giant fell face forward down at David's feet. And David walked over and he's still breathing. He's stunned but still alive. Come on. Amen. He walked over and he pulled his big massive sword from his side in the sight of all the armies of the Philistines and all the minions of hell. He had just declared there's a God in Israel. There's not just a man that knows how to fight. There's a God that defends Israel. Hallelujah. That sends his anointing upon his people. Hallelujah. And that giant is breathing, the labored breathing of someone unconscious. And David pulls his own sword from his scabbard. And he lifts that heavy sword that a man 3 times his height and stature, amen, used to pull it out. Amen. He took that massive sword and he brought it down and a head was severed from a body. And all the Philistine army said, that's more than a boy. He ain't got no sword. He ain't got no spear. But he got a God with him that you can't fight with the weapons of war. Can you say? Oh, somebody give him praise. The preacher needs to forget about his PhD and preach his God. The church needs to forget, amen, the social and political issues for a Sunday and declare a God that's able to send revival to a land. Can you say amen? The Democrats ain't going to win it for us and the Republicans ain't going to bring us salvation. We need the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to cover America again. Hallelujah. Hello? If you don't have personal revival, your political views, no matter how moral they are, will not change this nation. But God can. The weapons of our warfare, Sister Venable, are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Thank you. Call upon your covenant partner in the day of battle. For the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. And when you give up your weaponry and you take mine, you will never again know the bitter taste of defeat. For to defeat you, your enemy would have to first defeat me, saith God. Somebody give him praise in this place. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus has exchanged garments. It's the first two steps in the ancient covenant. Do you see it in Scripture? Hadn't there been an exchange? He takes your soiled robes, soiled with sin, wears them to Calvary, takes your punishment and your pain, and gives you his regal, righteous, pure robe to put on. And you're going to stand before God with that wedding garment, that righteous robe. You're going to wear another man's clothes through the gates of heaven, because you can't get in with your Sunday best. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Come on, church. Is that the gospel? It's not of works, lest any man would boast. You can't weave it out of your own good works or good intentions. But because you wear another man's robes, you should walk differently in your life. Careful not to intentionally soil them. And if it gets spotted, and it will, you can't live in a world like this without sometimes the flesh stumbling, fumbling. Amen? You despise the garment spotted by the flesh. What do you do? How do you get rid of that? How do all those people get to heaven in a world when you touch anything, it makes you dirty? Everything, wouldn't you hate to be in a white suit walking around a hog pen? Sooner or later, it's gonna touch you somewhere. Can you say amen? I mean, John was amazed at how many people actually made it to heaven. He said, who are these? They're coming out of every kindred, tongue, and nation. How'd they all show up here? Jesus said, these are they who have washed, the angel said, these are they who have washed their robes and made them white. How many know when you confess a sin, blood is applied? And how many know it washes the robe? You've got to despise the garment enough to go to God quick for cleansing. But if you'll go to God for cleansing, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. We finish this. There's seven more steps to the ancient covenant. That should preach for about a month. But since you're here, it won't take that long. I'm glad for the first two. I'm glad to have on his garment and his armor. Can you say amen? I'm glad for the exchange of clothes and the exchange of weapons. Hallelujah. They're not carnal anymore. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. It's his armor. The battle is not ours. It's the Lord's. Would you bow your head? Spirit of God is here. Brother, would you let that play? The Spirit of the Lord is here. I didn't give it to you. The New Testament is the new covenant. When you come to the Lord's table, you come to participate in the new covenant. It is a blood covenant. It is a better covenant. Because it is the blood of your covenant partner. It is shed for you. The exchange has been made. He took your sin. You were granted His righteousness. Walk in the newness and the purity and the power of this new standing, saith the Lord. What kind of friend God is to man to come to be His covenant partner, to begin by exchanging garments, that God would come to this world of sin and say, take my robe, cover yourself, and give me your robe. Because the moment the exchange was made, the wrath was transferred from us to Him. And Isaiah saw the transfer of the new covenant. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? When we saw Him, there's nothing that we should desire Him. See, He has on our robe, He's under the wrath of God. There's nothing that we should desire Him. And we considered Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But surely He bore our griefs and carried our sorrow. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes ye are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, but God hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Therefore I will appoint Him a portion with the great, for through His knowledge many shall be made righteous. The exchange has been made. Wear this garment in bold faith, because you're in covenant with God, but wear it trembling, because it's His robe. Mishalama. For thus saith the Lord, I will cleanse thee again and again and again. I'll take away every stain, saith the Lord. If you will be a people who will be honest before me, I'll open unto thee my good treasure. I will show thee the path of righteousness. I will give you the keys to the kingdom. I will grant you the victories that are promised. And I will be glorified in your midst. If you will come to me, bow to me, and to me alone, and walk worthy of your calling, saith the Lord. Somebody give Him praise in this place. Let's begin to worship Him. Let's begin to worship Him. Hallelujah. Let it play. Will you stand here? I just want to worship. Just bring that right on up. It's celebratory. Covenant is best understood as a friendship relationship. Two strangers didn't do this. It wasn't even businessmen that did this. It was so deep. The blood of a sacrifice was involved in it. The blood of the two people were involved. It was mingled. Salt. Hyssop was rubbed into the scars, so that the scars would remain on the covenant partner forever. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody give Him praise today. How many want to be clean before the Lamb today? Hallelujah. Despising even the garment that has been spotted by the flesh. You know what the incentive is to crucify the flesh? A God that's going to whack you? No. A God whose clothes you wear, who you want to bring honor to and keep clean because He wore yours all the way to the cross. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. When you glorify Him like that, there's joy in it. There's joy in the cleansing. There's joy in repentance. There's joy in holiness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It doesn't put you in a box. It sets you free. Hallelujah. When you lay down your armor and take His, the tension is gone. The fear is gone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sheep among wolves walk with boldness and grace, confidence and assurance. Hallelujah. You're wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. Glory to the Lord. Never had a friend like this. Bring that up just a little, brother. Let it resonate in this room. Yes. Hallelujah. Oh, let's give Him praise in this place. Some strongholds are getting ready to fall. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. On church, if you want revival, you got to reach out to God when He calls. Hallelujah. He's calling you. Get rid of your self-righteousness. Forget your good works. Come to the cross. Come to the cross. Hallelujah. Come to Calvary again. Song, keep worshiping. People are being moved on by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Strongholds that have defied you are falling. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Keep worshiping. Keep worshiping Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I'm come to be your covenant partner. I've come to be your friend forever. That's how it was with Abraham, and that's how it's going to be with us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Things that have been withheld from thee down through the years shall be given to thee in a day, saith God. As it is written, I will restore unto thee the years that the canker worm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, and the locust have eaten. For I will send you both the former and the latter rain in one season, saith God. And I will do this because of my covenant and because of thy faith in my covenant promise, saith God. Somebody give him praise in this place. Let's just continue to worship him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Some things are going to change. Some things are going to change. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, give him praise, church. He's here. He's here. He's here. Hallelujah. Thank you for your robe, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus. A friend forever. Hallelujah. 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 Eloi Sanda Danamaki. Just give him praise. Let's just. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus.